Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode 337. If you're listening to this the first time, I guess I've not said this very often, and I guess I should. If you are looking for the first 100 or so episodes, then you're going to need to check out our actual website, wcypodcast.com, and you're going to click on the right-hand side, about halfway down, you're going to click on the Liberated Syndication icon. It's our sister site, which has all of our episodes there to listen to. iTunes only hosts 200 to 300 episodes, and then it cuts it off, so they don't have all of our episodes. If you're looking for older ones, check there. Moving on. This week in the news, I just have to say that I have been doing a ton of really great Skype presentations all around in different lodges in Missouri. It's been fantastic. It culminated in me being able to Skype into Liberty Lodge in Missouri, and it was fantastic because I was going to be working with illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison, and halfway through my presentation in Skype, I realized, wait a minute, this is Steve's lodge, and it took a minute to not have a heart attack. This is going to be a shorter episode, not crazy short, but shorter in general. I am going to be heading on down to Champaign, Illinois for the Grand Lodge of Illinois Education Committee retreat, where we are going to be gathering together, the five or six of us, to really talk about the direction of Masonic education in the state of Illinois. So very much looking forward to that and spending some quality time with my brothers. And while we're down there, the same day that this is happening, like not right across the street, but very close to us, is going to be the Illinois Lodge of Research 2018 Spring Symposium. And it's going to be fantastic. So I hope anybody who went had a great time. I know in our next episode, I'll probably give you guys some interesting highlights of some of the things that we're going to be talking about, maybe implementing in the Grand Lodge of Illinois as far as education goes. We're looking to really do some great things. Next up, I've got a great article. I think it's a great article that'll be coming out of the Midnight Freemason soon, so check that out. And over at Chris Hodapp's blog, check that out at freemasonsfordummies.blogspot.com. He's got a great couple pieces talking about the Masonic Renewal Committee and the essay winners, and he covered a little bit of the live stream that the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction did, the Scottish Rite, for those members out there who don't know what that is, and they talked about exploring Masonic values in everyday life. Really what it was practical Freemasonry for the 21st century Freemason, how to take those lessons and apply them to today. So if you're into that, that's cool. Go watch that. But if you want a little bit more intimate and cool of an experience, I would definitely check out Juan Sepulveda and his Applied Freemasonry program. And then it was really cool to see MasonicCon 2018. So that's the big one that's coming up, guys. April is a huge month for Freemasonry. We've got the Ezekiel Bates MasonicCon 2018 event. It's pretty amazing. These guys that are coming out are heavy hitters. You've got Nathan Tweedy, Ryan Flynn, Doc Perry, Tyler Beebe, Alex Powers is going to be there. John Ruark is going to do something really cool with numbers. Angel Millar is coming back. Mike Jarzebeck, myself. We've got Greg Kaminsky. You might even get to meet Frauder O. So I hope you guys all come out at Ezekiel Bates Lodge. And if you're going to be there the Friday before, which is April 27th, actually, symposium day is 28th, the night before is the 27th, we're going to be at the Bog Iron Brewery, and we're doing a pre-party there. They're going to be having two specialty brewed craft beers just for the occasion. So if you want to have more details on that, head on over to freemasonfordummies.blogspot.com, scroll down to see MasonicCon 2018, and check out the details. The first piece I have for you this week comes courtesy of Worshipful Brother Darren A. Lonners. And in this piece, he actually addresses a rather difficult crisis. Or is it an opportunity? Let's read on and find out. I have recently encountered a situation within Freemasonry that I had hoped that I would never encounter. I have always been steadfast with my belief that we need to guard the West Gate, that there are certain men that lack the character to become Freemasons. While my view might be a thought of an elitist, I still think that I need to protect the fraternity. This being said, let me discuss my situation. One of the lodges I belong to read the petition of a man who had committed a felony when he was a young adult. Now, I'm going to break in here. This isn't part of the paper, but you should all know that in Illinois, A man can have a felony and still become a Mason. It's all on the investigation committee and their report. Back to the paper. The petition was read, and I was the only vote in dissent of accepting it. The man who is the top signer is someone in Freemasonry that I admire. I trust his judgment, but yet I still feel obligated to guard the West Gate. Another brother that I respect and admired also told a story. It was about a brother who, as a young man, had too much to drink. He passed out in the back seat of a car. His two mates decided that it would be a good idea to take said car, with said brother in the back seat, to steal tools. They were caught, and all three of them were booked. Luckily, the brother, having no knowledge of the crime and not participating in it, did not get in trouble. He went on to be a past master, and he's a 33rd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite. It could have been a different story. His point was that youthful indiscretions should be forgiven. We've all made mistakes, right? Let those among you without sin cast the first stone. Where do I draw the line? I just can't shake the feeling that I need to do what is right for the fraternity. I don't want to judge a book by its cover. However, I also don't want to make a decision that I'll regret. You see, my brethren, if we are so desperate for men to join our ranks that we will consider accepting felons, then I feel like we need to close the doors. We have a real problem in Freemasonry currently. It's a crisis of identity. An identity crisis is a period of uncertainty and confusion during which a person's sense of identity becomes insecure, typically due to a change in their expected aims or role in society. Applied to Freemasonry, we can't decide what we want to be. Do we want to accept every petition that comes to our lodges just because we have an issue with membership? We need to make a choice. We need to decide what we want to be. Do we want to be an average fraternal organization, or do we want something better for ourselves? I want to have men that want to be Freemasons, but I also want to have men that I can look at proudly as being a member of the fraternity. We as an organization are who we let in our fraternity. Not every man should be able to be a Freemason just because they pay their degree fees and fill out an application. I have, in my time, voted for members that later became habitually derelict on paying their dues, those that never show up for lodge, and that we chase year after year for dues don't really belong in our organization, do they? We need to do better. If we allow the election of members that have committed a felony, then why do we kick those out that have committed felonies during the course of their membership? In my mind, they are one and the same. I'd go one step further. I'd ask for automatic suspensions of any member that has a pending felony charge, along with a communication from Grand Lodge regarding said felony. What would happen if we had someone that committed a felony as a member of our fraternity, but they took a plea deal that lessened their charge to a misdemeanor? Don't you feel like you would benefit from having this transparency? I would have had a hard time being a member of an organization that put forth an aura of wanting only good men to find out that we might have skeletons hiding in our closet. So I'm still left with my crisis of conscience. On the one hand, if I were in a similar situation, wouldn't I want a second chance? On the other, I need to guard the West Gate. The candidate in question is joining us for our pre-lodge dinner before we vote next meeting, so I've decided that I'm going to ask him a question. It's simple, really. Why does he want to join our fraternity? It's a question that I've asked every candidate that I have been able to interview. Based upon what the answer is, then I'll make my decision. So far, a candidate has never convinced me not to vote for them. This is the first time that the answer will determine if I vote for them. I hope it's the right answer. Darren A. Lonners.
I recently attended a non-Masonic function held in a church where the Freemasons had dedicated the building. Out in the parking lot after the function had ended, I made note of the cornerstone. Not realizing I was a Mason myself, one of the others in the group gasped, "Isn't that weird?" Weird. The word echoed through my brain like it had exploded from my 1970s quadraphonic speakers playing one of those old reverberating radio stations. Weird. Are we weird? I mean, I know there are people who think the Masons are weird, but they're usually the types I think are weird right back at you. The person who said it, in fact, was a member of the church where we met. It's a mainstream Christian church that I always thought was pretty open-minded and tolerant, not weird. What's more, on the way in, I had seen what I presumed to be a parishioner's car with the Shriner's emblem on it. Is he weird? The church pariah, perhaps? I doubt it. And besides, if that was the viewpoint of the church, why on earth did the members decide to have the Masons dedicate it? I can't believe that's the case at all. So I have to believe that collectively, the church members hold Freemasons in high enough regard to have them dedicate the building. So I figure it must have been that individual's point of view. It's a view held by a few others, isn't it? Freemasons are weird? Are the men and women who support the Shriners Hospitals weird? Are the people who support dozens of other charities like the Knights Templar Eye Foundation and Scottish Rite Clinics weird? George Washington, was he weird? Omar Bradley? Clark Gable? Thurgood Marshall? Race driver Sam Posey? Steve Wozniak? Brad Paisley? Senator Fritz Hollings? 15 U.S. presidents? Peter Marshall? What mainstream Protestant thinks Peter Marshall was weird? How about the founders of the Mayo Clinic? Is the fraternity whose lodges served as an early model for democracy weird? Were many of the leaders of the American Revolution weird? How about the very first organization to break down class barriers, declaring everyone in lodge to be equal? Or the lodges in Belgium that first put forth the shocking idea that women are equal to men? How weird is the first organization known to promote workers' rights? Guess where many of those weird leaders in medicine, education, the arts, literature, music, and architecture came from. I'll admit, there are some Freemasons who have done some weird things. In fact, I wrote a book called Tales from the Craft that included some of them. However, for every Freemason who did something a bit offbeat, I'll bet I can come up with 100 non-Masons who were more weird. This wasn't the first time I had heard someone express an opinion that Freemasons are somehow weird, and it won't be the last. Still, it perplexes me. Maybe I'm just a little, well, weird. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, huge thanks goes out to illustrious Brother Harrison for bringing us yet another amazing segment of the Masonic Minute. If you enjoy that, please head on over to our bookstore. So go to wcypodcast.com, hover over the From Us to You tab, and click on Bookshop. Once there, you'll see a bunch of links to all of the various books that Steve has written, as well as many of our other friends of the show, and check those out. Next up, I have a great piece from a WordPress blog that you can go to at any point. Universal Freemasonry is the name of the blog post. The title, As Above, So Below, What Does It Mean to a Freemason? From the teachings of Hermes comes the well-known maxim, As Above, So Below. Those four words have become a sacred phrase, an adage of wisdom, an underlying principle, an ancient aphorism, and a mystic saying. The dramatic opening lines of the Emerald Tablet read as follows, quote, "'Tis true without lying, certain and most true. That which is below is like that which is above, and that which is above is like that which is below, to do the miracles of one only thing." End quote. The Emerald Tablet, Isaac Newton's translation. Over the centuries, almost every organization and religious body has loosely put their own spin on the formula. Many philosophical schools believe as above, so below is the same thing as the principle of correspondence. In other words, everything above, spiritual, corresponds to something material below. Nothing exists in isolation. Matter contains spirit and vice versa. More often today, I think the phrase is carelessly bandied out. For some thinkers, the spiritual dimensions are dismissed. as unverifiable or inadequate to explain how and what life is. Some say modern man's understanding of the entire Hermetic chain has been flattened over time. I hope not. Of interest to me, however, is how deeply and how widely that maxim is embedded into the teachings of Freemasonry. How is the Hermetic principle applied to a Freemason? Or is it? I may be mistaken, but as above, so below is not a Masonic phrase per se. If used in any way, shape, or form, it did not have its origins as words and ritual. I can only remember the phrase mentioned one time in conjunction with a lecture on astronomy. Even so, Freemasonry has some roots in the Hermetic tradition of Western occultism, and so the philosophy is heavily embedded in the teachings. And it is here we begin the introspection and speculative discussion of the phrase itself. The Masonic ladder, according to W. L. Wilmshurst, it is clear that a serious study of words and symbols can bring anyone quite far afield into the poetic lens of metaphor. Sometimes before venturing into my own fantasy land, I like to read what the Masonic scholars say. There is one symbol in particular that W. L. Wilmshurst writes about in his book Masonic Initiations that struck me as a good example of the maxim, as above, so below. That symbol is Jacob's ladder. It is also called the Masonic ladder and is said to reveal connection between heaven and earth, with God at the top of the ladder. Angels are seen as ascending and descending. Some say the ladder shows a hierarchical ordering of the universe, a great chain of being, a principle of correspondence. Wilmshurst tells us, quote, "Indeed life and the ladder it climbs are one and indissociable. The summit of both reaches to and disappears out of ken into the heavens. The base of both rests upon the earth. But these two terminals, that of spirit and that of matter, are but opposite poles of a single reality." End quote. If you think you can spot Plato in this, you are quite correct. Plato offered theories of knowledge that were also illustrated by ladders. Those who climb the ladder advance from one step to the next and build on the knowledge gained from the one below. Now, there is something that Wilmshurst writes later on that I found interesting. He believes that the cosmological truth, the principle of correspondence, is one that Masons should all know. Yet he claims that most Freemasons have, quote, "hazy notions on the subject," end quote. And I quote, "The modern Mason is not interested or treats the information as not credible." This line of thought left me with a question. Where does the modern Mason learn about cosmology? The great chain of being, veiled in allegory. Of course, there are always books and study papers to read to gain knowledge, but I am wondering if the true cosmological truths that Wilmshurst speaks of are kept alive in the Masonic rituals and allegories. Each Masonic ceremony speaks to the unconscious mind, slipping past the usual dogma and conscious defense mechanisms. If I can use a Masonic metaphor for a moment, in the mind of the great architect, it has been written that there is a ritual taking place all the time. It is a divine drama with the building theme of making perfection out of imperfection. When, therefore, here upon the earth, a ritual is enacted, symbolizing that eternal process, then some of the spiritual realms above are brought down to earth. It is this mysterious unity of thought synchronizing above to below which gives Freemasonry its magic and eternal purpose. In the book Spirit of Masonry, Foster Bailey writes, quote, "A symbol is an outer, visible, and tangible sign of an inner spiritual reality. If this is admitted, then behind all the outer forms of the Masonic work, latent in its rituals and hidden behind the entire system of symbols, is some spiritual value and some definite and intended teaching which can be discovered by those whose vision can be awakened." End quote. Perhaps the biggie truth is this. The quote-unquote inner spiritual reality that Bailey writes about is an inner state of being. For Freemasons, each of us is a builder, working with the hierarchical order of things according to his ability. Each must not only contribute his work, he must also grow to be capable of greater work. I believe that when the two realms of spirit and matter unite, the lodge on high sends its spiritualizing forces of life to the humble lodge below. Yet, the idea is greater than just what can be experienced in a ceremony. I think Freemasonry is an exposition of life itself, the creative life we all have to live, certain and most true. Quote, "Ascend with the greatest sagacity from earth to heaven and unite together the power of things inferior and superior. Thus you will possess the light of the whole world, and all obscurity will fly away from you. This thing has more fortitude than fortitude itself, because it will overcome every subtle thing and penetrate every solid thing. By it the world was formed. end quote. H.P. Blavatsky, written by Pamela McDown, 16th March, 2018. All right, that's it for this week. If you enjoyed this program, please head on over to WCYpodcast.com, hover over Support the Show, and check out our links there. Either make some direct donation, sign up to be a contributor, a fellow, or a producer of the program. Anything helps this program. If you don't want to do that on a monthly basis, consider just tossing us a one-time donation, $1, $2, whatever. It doesn't matter. Every penny that we get goes right back into the production of this program and some of our other things that we're out there putting together for you to increase Masonic education and bring you a Masonic experience wherever you are, right to your mobile phone, on your tablet, your computer, however we get to you. We're trying to facilitate the need for not just Masonic education, but Masonic living. So again, WCYpodcast.com. We've got our limited edition shops where we have, I think I have two sets of cufflinks left. I have a few money clips, and we have our lapel pins, which are all unique unto us. Nobody else carries them. You can read about the description and all the symbolism contained, not less than 12 hidden meanings on this pin. So please check that out if you're into symbolism, and show off that you are a producer of this show. I thank all of the contributors to this program. Now it is a great honor to be able to come on this show week after week and bring you this content. So thank you so much. I want to remind you all to check out the Midnight Freemasons blog, which is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can visit midnightfreemasons.org or .com. It doesn't really matter. I think we have both of them. You can find us there. Thanks to all the blogs out there that are resharing our articles from Midnight Freemasons. We really appreciate it. And thanks for properly attributing those as well. If you do like Masonic podcasts, I hope you do, you're listening to this one, please check out the Masonic Roundtable. We go live every Tuesday at 10, 9 Central. Last week we had Apathy on, aka Chad Bromley, a brother out of Connecticut, East Coast. He's on tour right now with his new album, and it was a great episode. I was unable to make it, but I loved listening to that interview the next day. Just a fantastic episode. So nice job to the team for putting together such a great episode. And that's it. Next week, we'll come back on the show, and we should have some really cool content again, just like every week. Thanks again for listening. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.